flyover state of film was shot in front of a live studio audience.
Welcome back to the second to last episode, for now, of Flyover State of Film. Some say this might be the penultimate episode. It's not. How are my boys doing?
Oh, we are.
Yeah, we're good. I mean, flying high. With my boys.
By the way, how are you
doing? Great.
Thank you, TJ. Thank you.
Getting old. You're probably, what, 23 now?
Oh, just a little more age to that. 31. It was a nice birthday.
Pretty over the line.
Really feeling them drinks these days.
It was just 5 years ago you were 26 starting this show.
I know.
Yusuf had to go ahead and just say I'm out.
Veto it.
Just like.
It's weird he said that, but then we made him do 100 more episodes, yeah, and now we're finally finishing that up.
Now, just like Leonardo DiCaprio, we get a little past the age of 27, and we're fucking out of here.
We used to enjoy the 27 Club, though. I mean, we got that going for us.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, you know.
We all made it. None of us are rock stars, turns out.
But in the world of...
All I know is that I'm better than Jesus, because I'm 34.
Outlive Jesus. Suck it, Jesus.
We have all lived... No, I haven't yet. Jesus, I still need to say this for like another 2 years, then I can say, suck it.
I'm really looking forward to telling Jesus to suck it, though.
For those taking count, Jesus is actually just Yusuf's cousin, Jesus.
That was good.
But anyway, a lot has happened in like the world of movies. Like, some bullshit has happened. I mean, it's the same thing as always, but... Anyone else just feel like there's a little more overreaction right now to, like, the recent Ant-Man, because there's nothing else to be outraged about? Because it just seems real mid.
I've legit has seen nothing. I was actually going to ask you guys, like, I feel like this is the first one that I've seen nothing on the internet, so I guess...
It seems the definition of mid.
I listened a couple of my regular pods to like review it and stuff, so I listened because I have no real desire to go see it in the theater. I'm not concerned with spoilers these days. Like, I don't really care about that sort of thing anymore. So, at least not with this movie, I didn't. And yeah, it seems like okay to bad is basically
like,
what
TJ, you've been kind of looped into it, I feel like.
Well, I didn't realize, because I've been having so much trouble with the Twitter app. Shout out Elon. That I've just been using, like, my browser, and in the app, which I don't know if I haven't updated in forever, but there's, like, in the browser, it has a for you, and then follow it.
Yeah, that's what, but, yeah.
That's where Elon Musk lives.
Your for you is just filled with fucking Quantumania.
Well, it's all you guys for you, but if I go into, like, following, and it's just, like, all the rest of the scraps, and everyone's likes, and fucking retweets popping up, it's...
Yeah, it's a hellhole now.
I don't know if we're ever going to get to that point where how many characters can you have in a tweet?
I think, like, 240 right now.
Can we get to the point where there's been so many of these movies that we stop doing the fucking rankings every time one comes out?
Every time.
Yeah.
Who gives a...
Thank you.
There hasn't been one that cracked the top 10 since Endgame.
There's no point.
So, like, why even bother?
Like,
to,
like... I straight up, like, really, like, shockingly enjoyed House of Madness.
Yeah,
Yeah, I liked.
But it's not a top 10.
Spider-Man. I thought the new Spider-Man was fun.
They're not worth talking about.
I didn't like Shang-Chi.
I like Shang-Chi. Those are those top three. But yeah, so I don't know. It's just funny to see because
I like Shang-Chi, but they should have gotten more of the bus.
A real
more
like
bus fights, less dragon, big dragon battles.
That dragon was fun. I liked it, but I felt like
with you,
it should be more like that type of fight.
It didn't need Awkwafina. We remove her and
start on that. They really lean on that quirky best buddy in these movies, and it's like, people are getting real critical of the Marvel comedy, and I think that's a thing they could
evaluate. The shit with her with real quick back to the Ant-Man is. This is, like, the first one that's, like, truly, like you said, it's, like, nothing's about it, blah, blah, blah. The people that are talking about it, they're just desperate to drum up shit where it's, like, you don't care. Stop. We don't care, right? Like, we just let this come out?
Or it's the same shit that you're that everyone's fucking regurgitating that one specific tweet, and then everyone, which, again, minus the movies that I picked for this podcast that we don't have to deal with anymore for a little bit, you can find a good role in any movie, bad movie,
So right now it's like, but Kang is
exactly. Everybody loves Jonathan Majors, so it's like
because they're not gonna talk shit about Kang in Black History Month, you know? They gotta toe the line.
They locked that in.
Oh, no criticisms of any of it, because if not, it's like, well, you can't be excited for when he's in movie number 700.
Yeah, they're like, exactly, they cannot talk shit. Obviously, the Black History Month is a joke, but they cannot talk shit about it because it's like, well, it's the Kang saga. Of course Kang was awesome. We're super excited about Kang because we're going to force feed it.
Well, and legitimate, and like I said, I haven't seen the movie or anything, but one of the criticisms I heard, and this is something I thought of when I watched Loki, anybody who watched Loki knows it ends with basically a Kang variant, them running into a Kang variant at the end of Loki. And I remember watching it and being like, that's cool. This is what's going to happen in Quantumania too. And from what I understand, that is basically what happens.
He runs into
a Kang who presents himself as like, I'm the good Kang who's actually trying to set things right. And they fight and they kill that Kang off. And they're like, I wonder what's going to happen now. And that's literally the stuff end of Loki. So
don't know about like Marvel when they, that character, I have no idea. So everything I'm like, oh, neat.
Yeah.
Anyway, next, I don't know, any of the Super Bowl happened, we don't need to talk about that one for TJ's sake,
I was really invested in that also.
Gabe,
it was a good game, man. It was a great game. Rihanna grabbed her crotch. This is like so fucking...
Well, that's because the baby was going to fall out. She was catching it.
Oh, gotta slide it back in there.
She pushed it. A little leg was peeking to the.
But did any of the trailers? There was one trailer that jumped out to me, and it was the Nike Ben Affleck movie. That looks fucking great.
I don't think I even saw that one because, like, I am so bored to tears with these, like, how we created a product movie. Same thing with the Tetris one. It's like this big wank fest over like, I could not. You made shoes and you signed an endorsement deal. Like, what the fuck is this even about?
I am very excited.
That
for
looks
it,
good
though.
To me.
I am so fucking excited to see who they cast as the child labor kids because that sequence is going to fucking slap.
When he goes like, over there and he.
When
he
there's whipping
the,
them.
Oh man. The hot young role as the kid who's
get that switch right, and just little
Jacob Tremblay in blackface.
That's gonna be for sure an Oscar nominated performance, by, right?
I mean, yes. Does Ben Affleck look hilarious? Of course, but that's not enough for me.
Now, to me, it looks like identically like the HBO Max series that nobody talked about. The one with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Yeah.
The Riley in it or whatever.
The one that ruined Adam McKay and Will Ferrell.
Yeah, hilarious.
Know what though? It's fine. Their time was done.
I'm a big fan of Moneyball. It's probably obviously not going to be a Moneyball because I had heart to it. I don't, there's obviously no heart other than like.
I thought it would be like a Big Short Speaking of Adam Kay,
more gonna bleed like the Michael Jordan family stuff. Fucking, I believe Octavia Spencer's playing the mom, and like
she. Yeah, Viola Davis.
You mean they're gonna leave out the part where his dad got murdered because of his gambling debts?
No, because it's just the beginning.
It's awkward.
There has to be a sequel, Brian. Okay, they're gonna end this with him winning Rookie of the Year.
Air Two, what comes out of the gun?
Yeah. So I mean, I don't like commercial wise for movies. They were just like extended one, and then we got more of
Flash Batman. That was the big one.
Yeah, that's the one where everyone kind of like lost their shit for the 3 days on Twitter. Used up in the
it website. Looks like shit.
Okay, great. At first, I was like, "Oh, cool, Michael Keaton," that's, and yeah, I was like, weird. And then they had him do a dumb CGI flippity flop fight, and yeah. Then I was like, and then everything else looked like a gross mess. It looks really shitty and CGI. Kind of the way Ant-Man looks, honestly. I was like, this kind of looks like garbage.
I've been following a lot of and diving deep into like the Tim Heidecker on cinema universe, of seeing the shit like Decker and of like those Twitter accounts following. We're sharing screen grabs of like, this literally looks like an episode of Deck, like that bad, like, you know, Tim and Eric green screen background, like, yeah, shoddy. And they're like, this clip of Michael Keaton looks like a fucking clip of, like, yeah, the bad comedy
when,
show.
When they yeah, show the thing, car.
It's like, I even tried, I was like, take the Ezra Miller out of it. We know he's garbage, or they are garbage, excuse
but
me.
But you can't even take that because well, they're no, like,
but I'm just
two,
like, I'm just,
there's two Ezra Millers in this.
I was never going to go into their pocket for this movie anyway. But I was like, I'll objectively look at this trailer and see if it even looks like something I would want to watch on HBO Max. And it looks very bad.
I like how James Gunn is just gaslighting everyone, being like, this is one of the best superhero movies I've ever seen. I'm so excited for it. And that's
I feel like that's just going to fuck up his credibility for his new franchise.
Wait, I have a prediction. GJ mentioned the Joker. I think the Joker 2 is going to be like a Gremlins 2 because they didn't want to make it. And it might just be a so weird as shit that it actually might.
Todd Phillips is way too up his own ass.
That's the hope I have for it, right?
Phoenix has even more control this time, too.
Yeah, it's gonna, you know what I mean, though? Like, in a perfect world, it would be like, sure, we'll give you a sequel. And then it's just like a guy making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for 2 hours.
Now, I know everyone that's an actor, like, 80% of them have some type of voice singing skills, and I never saw the Johnny Cash movie.
Walk the Line.
I know this movie's a fucking musical.
Yeah,
he sings,
and it's gonna be one of those things. It's gonna be like that stupid Scrubs episode where all the musical parts are actually like their mental illness, because you know they think they're an art film. Like, I'll tell you what, I didn't see the Joker when everybody else did. When I eventually got around to it, it's embarrassing. It's like the like what a dude bro thinks a smart movie is. It's really fucking. It's like
it's
incredibly bad.
It's a bad movie with a good performance.
But Joaquin Phoenix is going to be good every time. He's like, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what the movie is.
I still wish he was our Doctor Strange. Just Joaquin's weird intensity in the MCU.
Yeah, would have been that would have been great.
You know, but Cumberbatch, whatever the fuck.
He's grown on me.
But he's just, you know, he's very...
That's what she said.
Yes. But the Flash shit, I mean, it's one of those things, like, yeah, am I going to see it? Probably, because I'm loving but hating again, because the Snyder shit is only going to awaken more, because you already seen it. The guys doing the fucking deep fakes of like James Gunn and the voice and being like, we're gonna restore the Snyderverse to Netflix. And I'm just like, here we go again. But they're giving
them it reeks of Snyderverse because it has that same energy of like, it's our first Flash movie ever, but we're doing a story that came 40 years late in the comic because it's just the most recent one that everybody remembers. It's the one we made an animated movie for. So like 12-year-olds who are now 16 remember it. And it's like, your first Flash story shouldn't be the one that built off of decades of continuity.
So the
and
then same
like,
mistake Zack Snyder made.
Right, which was like Batman starting with the end. You don't start with The Dark Knight Returns. You don't start with Superman, The Death of Superman.
I will never, ever forget, like, several years ago, hearing the being like, yeah, how great is it that Zack Snyder went to go make Man of Steel 2? But he said he had a hint of Batman, and then DC said, or Warner Brothers said, can you write a movie with Batman in it? And he said, yes, I have a perfect story. And then did the end of their story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never forget that. And I remember going, oh, yeah, this is going to be, the wheels are going to go off.
It sucks. And that's what they're basically doing with The Flash. Plus, it's just a lazy, like, way to retcon where they should just, like,
start fresh.
Cut this Snyderverse off and start fresh. This is, like, a weak way to, like, nostalgia.
Yeah.
Like rip at the corpse of the tiny little nibbles of good parts they want to steal from the Snyderverse. It sucks. I love a good train wreck, and I love to see it, but...
They don't want to start fresh. I like how... You know who I respect in all of this? No. Christopher Nolan.
No, man.
He was asked to do this, and he said, I'll be a producer on that Man of Steel movie you're making, and then never fucking said a word about any of it ever again.
Yeah. He was like, you know what? I'm gonna kick it over here. Make classy-ass, boring movies that don't make any sense.
No. Now we have Oppenheimer. You know what else is
I do want to kind of see Oppenheimer.
You know what else is an Oppenheimer?
Topic.
Yeah, you think we'd have good transitions by episode 115?
Never. I refuse.
That's why I'm leaving.
Transition. And if you do a good one, we'll call it out as to ruin it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, TJ. So today, for anyone listening, we will be talking about Face Off, and that's like one of my favorite movies of all time.
Boys, Face Waterfalls.
Waterfalls
for everybody.
For everyone. Before we talk about Face Off, we do have a couple of Nick Cage questions teed up for you. So one of them, TJ was wondering. I want to recast the Con Airplane.
Oh.
With, you know, just modern actors to fill the convicts. Minimum of 5. Add more if you want. You know, Yusuf, where's everyone thinking?
So my Con Air is going to take full place inside of the plane. And it's just going to be an hour and a half of people talking. And my criminals are going to be Richie and Seth Gecko from Dog Still Done.
Sure.
So we have that, you know, raunchy banter between them. And then I'm going to pair them with Jules and Vincent from Pulp Fiction. So we have the same smart aleck vibes, but they're not as raunchy. So Jules is going to be every now and then, what the fuck is Quentin talking about, you know, Richie?
They're classing it up. They're a little classier.
And then the final piece is going to be, which is the one that interests me, is the one that adapts to the situation. And I want to see how he's going to be the star, and it's going to be Tom Ripley from Talented Mr. Ripley. So he fucking adapts himself to any situation and starts absorbing the personalities, and he has 4 completely different fucking personalities. So he's going to have to find a way to manipulate all 4 and get his ulterior motive, which is to escape Con Air, and then, I guess, to utilize them to escape. But I see it more like a Quentin Tarantino.
I answered this question so differently.
But the thing is, it's like, you can still do this. You don't have to, like, you can just be like, I like the idea of, like, just putting a different band of iconic criminals from movies in your, you know what I mean? That's fun.
But it's all conversation-based here, Yusuf. Like, there's no, who's your...
This is fully, like, Tarantino at the diner talking about tips type movie.
So I would say, who is your John Malkovich? Who's your Cyrus the Virus?
That's going to be Quentin Tarantino.
Okay. Where Casey's
He's a psycho.
TJ, what do you got?
Okay. I was originally going to do the same way you said that.
Any way you want, because I'm going to say actors.
Yeah, I'm just going to do a list of, like, regular recasting, so feel free to play around.
This is
so why do you want to do it? Because I killed it so hard?
So, right. Yeah,
exactly. You don't want to compete with that.
I think
I'm just sitting here thinking about different actors, what criminals I want to put on, and then I want to put Richard Kimball from The Fugitive on there, too. So I'm just thinking about who goes on with Richard Kimball.
Okay. All right. I think I got this. Okay. I think I don't know a lot of the characters' names, so I'm just going to describe them the best ways I can. The one that wears a dress.
That's Sally Can't Dance.
I am going to put, I'm going to flip a role with this one. I'm going to put Steve Buscemi into that role.
Okay.
For Cyrus the Virus, I'm going to put in Rob Schneider. For Diamond Dog, I'm going to put Kevin James.
Pinball.
Yeah, I'm thinking for the guy who plays Bubba Gump in,
that's Baby-O. Got Baby-O on there.
I am going to cast, help me out, the older gentleman who does the country voice in Waterboy.
I know where you're going with that.
You know the theme I'm going with here. I'm just going to...
It's a Happy Madison. Happy Madison.
And it's funny that he's inadvertently pointing out that he doesn't have any black people in those movies. That's not fair. Chris Rock, Tim Meadows. You could have switched out some Chris Rock and Tim Meadows.
Chris Rock is Gator. Mm-hmm. I was going to put Tim Meadows as the female officer. I need Johnny 23 now. Fuck.
Oh, Rob Schneider again.
Two Rob Schneiders. And obviously Sandler is going to play top billing.
You could put David Spade in there.
I'm gonna save you for the end.
No, David Spade should be the John Cusack, the cop.
He's gonna be Cusack.
And we need the gay the guys from the Grandma's Boy.
Alan Covert
and the other guy, the naked guy.
One could have the Corvette that says ass kicker.
The Cole Meany role.
Yeah, and then we'll put in his wife can be the prettier one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Better looking one.
Yeah. Well, they do play husbands in Big Daddy together.
Oh yeah, they do. Fuck yeah.
I was gonna say boyfriends, but I think they're married, or whatever the version of married New York State had in 1990.
But it's gonna be serious, like a Happy Madison did Uncut Gems type of like. It's gonna be real.
Happy Madison presents Conathan Air.
Who's the fucking brothers who direct that shit? Put them the Safdies.
Safdies. Oh, that movie would be so unnerving. Like, I feel like I could just see...
Or would I be watching a bunch of dumb people do stuff I would never do?
No, but I could just see, like, Adam Sandler be like, hey, Safdies, we're real cool. Do you want to direct, like, my next Netflix movie? We're going to go to Hawaii.
How do you just kind of go on vacation?
Yeah, you just kind of cast on my boys, though. But for my wife, that girl that shows her boobs from Euphoria all the time... We need Sydney Sweeney.
Who's like younger than my daughters?
Yeah. God. We were just talking about how Adam Sandler's movie wife roster is like better than any celebrities, like the hottest women ever. You just go through the list and you're like, you? Why?
Yeah.
Just anyway.
Your wife, man, we get
iconic, schlubby guy, hot wife.
Selma
Hayek.
He casts his wife in a small role.
Mm-hmm.
That way she can take the kids in the vacation with them and just be with the kids and that. And then just he can make out with two scenes. Yeah, and him, he can max out with Drew Barrymore, Jennifer Aniston, Decker, Jennifer Connelly.
He always has like his friends be like his wife's husband in the movie too.
Yeah, like, you're right. Like Kevin James is definitely like following his wife. All right, I'm going to go before we get to Brian, because I know Brian has about 15.
I'm going to chew through the whole cast.
So I wanted to really find this balance they have of, like, the character actor, comedian, you know, all this on the plane. So I feel like we need John C. Reilly in part of this role, and he would work really well as, like, the Steve Buscemi character.
Okay.
Then for the Dave Chappelle comedian... I feel like Tom Segura has been kind of licked in his acting chops a bit. I think he could come in as like more of a wisecrack.
Oh, I love that.
Crack and roll.
He can crack his bones too.
Yeah, and he can he'll break his arm on the way the plane goes down when he gets thrown out. But I feel like he would be a good replace of the Dave Chappelle role, especially he's skinny now. And then big bad number one, I'm going to go with Anthony Mackie. He brings a certain, like, intensity that Ving Rhames also brought, because we're keeping the races.
Oh, Diamond Dog. Diamond Dog.
Big Bad Diamond. 1 and 2. And then for Cyrus, Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, which is basically, you know, it's better
Mamalkovich.
And then just for random convict, but you're like, hey, that guy who was also a crazed person, Michael Shannon.
Yeah. He could be Billy Bedlam, the guy he fights in the bottom. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, you know where you are, Poe. You're on your way home. You don't want to do this.
Mikkelsen pick, but I want to see, like, Mads, like, unleash, like, a little wild side of him. Like, it's pretty contained. Like, I've never really seen him in the James Bond shit. But.
No, he's contained in Bond. He still has the they had him play that very, like, straight Bond villain that just doesn't fight but just says words.
Well, coming up, Indiana Jones is the latest franchise that has a chance to waste Mads Mikkelsen. So
they all do.
They all do. They have so far. They have a perfect record of wasting him.
Michael Shannon's a good one, too. Because you got, like, the craziness in almost all of them. Because, I mean, for that cast, I don't know.
I don't think you can put Michael Shannon and Mads Mikkelsen in the same movie together. That was too much crazy. They both die. Too wild.
One of my favorite podcast stories is there's an episode, one of the worst episodes of House Get Made. They had Danny Trejo on. And they did one of his movies, though, so the episode sucks. But he tells a story, and they're like, oh, who's, like, the craziest person? He goes, you know, Nicolas Cage, you know, he has it, but it's an act. He goes, John Cusack will, he'll rip your throat out. The look in that man's eyes is the same look I saw people's in prison.
Yeah, I remember that. I do remember that.
Like,
I believe it. I'd buy into that.
Yeah. And then you look and you're like, yeah, I guess Edgar Allan Poe Wilson.
Have you ever seen him snap on the, or Joe, you're probably the only person I know when he snapped on.
I know what you're going to bring up. White Sox Dave guy.
Sox Dave outside the thing because he was wearing, like, a White Sox hat and he likes the Cubs. He's like, you can't wear both hats. And Cusack just, like, he's what, like 6'4", too?
He's a big boy. Yeah.
Just look down at him. He's like, I will fucking kill you.
Yeah. He's like, I am a fan. I can do what I want. You're bullshit. And he very deservedly so punked out the Chicago Barstool guys.
That's amazing.
That's always the best story. And Cusack's also a bitch, though, because him, John Malkovich, and there's probably other actors, if we were interviewers and real movie people, would not be allowed to ask him about Con Air on a junket.
He doesn't talk about Con Air, which is none of them.
You knew this, John Malkovich. John Malkovich is like refused that he believes.
I believe that this, but you could definitely see this being a paycheck movie for some of those guys, and that's fine. Yeah. But like, so this tapped into, I realized real quickly that, like, first of all, Con Air of the Nick Cage action trilogy has always been my favorite. Like, I love Face Off, but I'm glad we're getting to talk a little bit about Con Air. And then it tapped into, like, one of my earliest, like, when I first started getting on the internet and watching videos. It was like 2015 or something. And I was watching this show. It was that one of those Popcorn Talk Network shows, Action Movie Anatomy, and they used to do.
I remember that.
And I was watching this, and I just love the ensemble. We've talked about ensemble cast before. This movie's got, like, an incredible ensemble cast, and every role is already cast with a person I love, so, like, I couldn't help but recast all the roles. And so I went back, and that's still there under their YouTube video, so I looked it up, and I made some minor changes, but a lot of these hold up. I was pretty happy with a lot of them. So for Cameron Poe, I thought Channing Tatum. He's got kind of dead-eyed Southern country boy energy.
Logan Lucky.
Yeah, right?
Great movie.
Cyrus the Virus, I really like this one. Jake Gyllenhaal. Kind of like slick back hair, prisoners Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, real piece of shit, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Real nightcrawler guy.
Yeah.
For Agent Larkin, the John Malkovich, Patrick Wilson, I think is perfect for that.
Oh, he'd be a great crunchy liberal FBI guy.
Right. Yeah. Perfect for Diamond Dog. He's red hot right now. Why not Jonathan Majors? Just slide him right in there. And plus, he's huge. He's about to be in Creed. Yeah. He's a monster right now. For Baby O, for the diabetic friend, for Bubba Gump, I picked Little Rel Howery from Get Out and from Poker Face.
Yeah, this is good.
For Billy Bedlam, the guy down where he fights with the bunny, that guy. John Bernthal, I think it's just like, I'm just like, I'm just, Pinball, JB Smooth, that's the Dave Chappelle role.
Is JB Smooth, and I want to push back on him a little bit, is he a little too old?
No.
Okay.
There's no age for prisoners. Plus, he's comedic. He doesn't have to do an action beat. They had skinny Dave Chappelle in that role.
I know someone who calls people that like that just don't leave places that like they come into your life and then they just never leave. Leons. And it's a perfect term.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, oh, that's our Leon.
I love JB's move. Every time I see him in something, it makes me smile. I fucking love him.
Like, I'll bet a friend's friend and they break up and, you know, the relationship. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's just, no, Leon's still around, though.
Let's see, Steve Buscemi, Garland Green, Dane DeHaan. Perfect little creep for that.
Oh, my God, he's spitting image.
And for Johnny 23, for Danny Trejo, you could just still cast Danny Trejo, honestly. We all know you could. But what about Raymond Cruz, Tuco from Breaking Bad?
He's got
good energy for that. I got to get for Swamp Thing, which is MC Gainey, the guy who flies the plane. I put Nick Offerman in there. Let's see. I filled them all out. Elise Braga. Sam Smith is the guy in the dress. Duncan Malloy. Oh, this is a good one for the Duncan Malloy, Cole Meany, Dean Norris, right? Perfect. Dean Norris. Get Dean Norris in there. Anyway, I love Con Air, guys.
That rules.
I think every role in Con Air is awesome. It's one of those, like, ensemble movies where, like, they all are so specific, but, like, the little details really make them stand out. It's really good. Plus, the casting is so good that makes everybody memorable.
That is a great, these are all great castings. They all made sense.
I would watch every one of these movies. Around the Horn, I'd watch them all.
Netflix in about a week, so.
get Hollywood on the phone.
I'll say Quentin Tarantino could fully get his made. Like, he could get that made tomorrow.
Everybody's dying to just be like, oh, yeah, Quentin, come on over. They were gonna even fucking give him a Star Trek movie.
Oh my god,
ridiculous! I don't want to see Quentin Tarantino try to direct a sci-fi movie, not let alone Star Trek.
I mean, he's cheating with what he wants to do, and he should never put like a stop. He's like, I only want to make 10 movies, because he's like cheating in the way if you hear him talk about it. He's like, well, no, that doesn't mean I can't go do like a bunch of TV shows and write books and
right.
He doesn't consider Kill Bill two movies.
Yeah,
he's a crazy person. Topic. Let's, Yusuf, I think you've got a game for us.
Yeah, being honest, I bit off more than I could chew. I thought I would have had time. So.
This poor bastard.
So no game is what you're saying.
No. I only have 5 questions, okay?
That's fine.
So this is a John Travolta plus Nick Cage movie. I'm going to mention a quasi combination of two titles, and you have to guess the two titles. One of them has an extra point for title combination, if you can come up with a good title combination that matches mine. And the other one is just naming those movies.
Okay. And what are we saying our names after you say name that movie?
Yes. So I thought I would have more time to do them more, but I only got them 5. So, all right. Trouble Tank Cage trivia movie, name that game. Car aficionados will love the effective nature of this cleaning product. Name those movies.
Joe.
Yo.
Gone in 60 Seconds. And Grease.
Yes. Oh, okay. What's the title combination?
That I do not know.
Gone in Greasy Seconds.
Gone in Grease Lightning.
Grease Gone in 60 Seconds.
Grease Gone in 60
seconds. That's the name of the product.
Grease Gone. Gugon, yeah.
Oh, okay, now I get it.
All right, Joe, you got 1 point. David Lynch would flinch at this wild movie combination. Name that movie.
Joe. Wild at Heart. And Perfect?
No.
Can you repeat the question?
David Lynch would flinch at this wild movie combination. Name that movie.
Well, TJ, Wild at Heart, and Look Who's Talking Now.
I think we all can agree it's Wild at Heart and something.
I didn't know what Wild at Heart is, but I just...
But David Lynch would flinch at this wild movie combination. Joe's going to be so mad. Which I thought Joe would have slam dunked it.
The what?
Wild at Heart is the John Travolta movie?
Joe, Brian, do you have one?
Wild Heart's a John Travolta movie? Is that the one? Is that the one where he dances with Jamie Lee Curtis?
Nope, that's what I said the combination would be. Yeah. That's perfect.
I got nothing.
Wait. Saturday Night Fever?
Joe, you got half a point.
What's the combination?
Wild at Heart and Wild Hogs.
Wild Hogs. See, I only think about your Volta movies that I like care. Like, you know what I mean? You only think about your personal canon. I don't think outside.
There is a half point, and you talk about that movie multiple times. That fucking movie, you've mentioned it so many fucking times on our podcast. Yeah. I was like, this is for Joe. Joe's the only one that's going to remember Wild Hogs.
Yeah, because you ever get really stoned and then Wild Hogs is a fever dream?
So
I have.
So what's the name combination?
Wild Hogs. Hogs at
Wild
Heart.
Wild at Hogs.
Hogs at Heart.
Wild Hogs at Heart.
I'll show you my
too,
hog.
Too wordy. Too wordy. These titles are too wordy.
Alright. This baby's vocabulary is quite extraordinary to compare to this neon man. Name that movies.
Brian. Is Look Who's Talking and Color Out of Space? Is it Mandy? Because he's neon. He's so purple in both of those movies.
Yeah, it's Mandy. But he doesn't talk in Mandy. That's why I said like...
purple.
I'm going to give you a point,
Jeremy. All right, I'll take it.
Look Who's All Mandy.
Right. Look Who's Mandy. That's the title.
There's no pun in that.
I didn't write a title for that one.
That's a flyby where it's like,
who's talking?
American I gave up confused. On writing titles. Like, only the first two I wrote a title. The rest I'm not.
I like how when Yusuf comes up with games, he like really wants to be creative with it. And when I do, I just take a trivia question and just remove keywords.
Quick little trivia question. Who's the voice of the baby in the first one? The boy. And who's the voice of the girl?
Anthony Michael Hall and Bruce Willis.
No.
Bruce Willis is in the first one. Then Roseanne. The second one is Roxanne.
Yeah, so
Cruz. Oh.
I don't know who the dog is.
And now, I was going to say, does anybody remember the dogs?
Kind of. The boy is.
I think it's Danny DeVito. No.
Yes.
It does. Danny DeVito is the male dog.
Oh, shit.
I think Rhea Perlman is the other dog.
Rhea Perlman do the female, too?
I think, possibly.
I don't remember. Not as familiar.
That's perfect casting.
So go for it.
All right, so Joe, 1 point. 1 point and a half. Brian, 1 point. TJ, you suck. All right. We only have two more, but there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points in the air.
Wow. A lot of points to be had here.
This installment will make you wish you could see into the future and see a less punishing entry. Name that movie.
Joe.
Anybody want to argue that he jumped a gun or do you not do
that? Nah, let him go. It's fine.
Joe.
Next. And Phenomenon.
TJ.
Next
and Punisher.
Yeah!
Sounds like a... He's the bad guy in the stupid Tom Jane Punisher.
Yeah, I forgot he was the bad guy in it.
That's because that movie sucks. That's why you forgot.
And here is when I gave up.
That's where I started to pack it in, guys.
I wrote four movies that all have one word, and that word is a name. Name those four movies.
Joe. Michael. Mandy.
I didn't write Mandy. Mandy was already an option.
Okay. Four movies. Oh, shit. So, okay. I know Michael's one of them.
I'm going to give you 20 seconds.
Yeah, that's fair.
I know another one.
Patch Adams. No, I lost it.
I can think of one other one.
All right, Joe has 1 point.
Carrie.
Let me see. Because the other are the other two.
Brian is right now. Brian is right now.
Oh, you got 26. Now I get more time. I get more time to think.
Yeah. There's two more.
Oh. I know it.
What are you looking at, Joe? Are you looking at the fucking? You cheating?
No.
Yeah. He's googling.
IMDb up.
I know it.
See him googling.
Can I see? Can I say my hands?
No. It's still Brian's turn.
You have to wait. Yeah. I give up.
That's the longest 20 seconds of my life.
There's two, both of them are one propelled Cage back into the forefront, and the other one became a meme for Travolta.
Battlefield Earth. My name,
Joe. DJ, you have any guesses?
Joe. Idina Menzel.
The movie Joe.
But Joe, he said it, but yeah, it's Joe. Well, one of them is Joe.
Oh, I thought he already said Joe. I wasn't using Joe. I thought he answered
Joe. He said his name Joe to answer his name them.
Joe, and I thought he said the movie Joe.
Yeah, that's how it happened. I should have 2 points.
All right, Mimi.
I got to get a spider that's hanging from the ceiling.
Oh, Gotti.
Gotti!
Oh, TJ, great pull.
That one was hard. I just thought I saw the face and the stupid wording that looked like Boondock Saints. In the cover.
This was a tight game. Joe, 3.5. TJ, 2. Brian, 2. There you go. That's the trivia Travolta Cage movie game.
Yeah, I didn't embarrass myself.
Did you also know that Nick Cage plays a character... Which is the 80s movie where he's the background guy? Fuck it, who cares?
Oh, but sorry, earlier...
Fast Times? Talking about Fast Times?
Yeah, thank you.
I do... One thing while we transition the topic is, earlier Brian was like, what happened to Dame DeHaan? Went to go look at his IMDb. Ever since he starred in that Valerian movie in 2017, he has only been in television.
Oh, wow.
And like in like four, like you know, working, but
well, they had they had tried to make, because he was also in the crappy Spider-Man movie that everybody hated. So it was like, and he was in like A Cure for Wellness, which was like a big budget, trying to be an A24 movie, but then it had like a dumb ending. It had like a third. I remember watching that movie and being like, about 2/3 of it was pretty good, and then the ending has like, it's kind of real dumb,
like a B movie.
So Brian, you had a question for us?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this seemed like an obvious one. We're watching Face Off.
Well, sorry, so, man, that I didn't come up.
Whose celebrity, you know, face do you want to take off?
Because we did this question once, but which two celebrities would swap faces?
No, I want you to know, whose face do you want for your face? For whatever reason. I don't care the reason.
Well, if you must know, see Thomas Howell in Blackface.
Yeah, in blackface. So he gets his face painted up. Then they take it off.
And then give it to me.
Damn, that's hard.
The paint would wash off because they keep it in that suspended water.
I got one. I'll start. John Hamm, because that man is too handsome.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he's a big penis.
Well, we're not switching penises.
Yeah, I mean, that's to say, like, they say they switch faces and
I don't know, in that movie she's
the same, which is a little insulting to Nicolas
Cage. She didn't notice any difference.
You're right. So, John Hamm, and the reason why is recently we have watched, he's popped up in three movies in small roles. They're not very good, but every scene that he was on, every person, didn't matter their gender, it was like, oh, they're going to fuck. They have sexual chemistry. Every did person see
the new Fletch? Was that one of the movies you watched? The new
we were
Fletch?
Going to, and that looked that apparently was really good because of I that, heard, like John Hamness. Like,
I have yeah, his chemistry with the dog is amazing.
Chase Fletch,
but you're thinking of Turner and Hooch.
I know. I said it. I said it, and then I was like, "Meh."
I'm no, already, we watched the shitty movie for How Does This Get Made. And he shows up as the only normal character, and everyone he interacts with, I'm like, they're gonna have sex.
He's really good.
He's about to bang this person.
Sure. So I'd like to switch. I like to switch faces with him. He looks seems like he has. He seems like he has everything figured out in life. People you like hanging what, out with him.
Your voice would match that face a lot better.
Thanks.
No, I mean you're very you're a handsome guy, Jeff. You've all done the polls, but boy, oh boy, you put that face on you with that voice.
Mm-hmm. Clean up, yeah.
Well, that's kind of like, speaking of being handsome, that's kind of why I was like, I know what that's like. I've lived that life. I mean, so I wanted to go with something with a little more character, and I was like, who's like really
Rocky Dennis?
Who would I be like, excited to look in the mirror and play with, like, make faces at myself? And I think the answer is the man who gave the best mirror performance of all time, Willem Dafoe. Mm. Put Willem Dafoe's face on this body, plus my big body with like Willem Dafoe's weird goblin face on it, I'd be terrifying.
I just watched him in Speed 2, Cruise Control.
He kills him in that.
He's doing a lot of acting by himself to the camera too. Mm-hmm. Oh wow, what the fuck?
Well, that's the post.
I've never seen it.
That's the post Die Hard era where everybody's a Hans Gruber, and he's like one of the great Hans Grubers.
Yeah.
he's really doing. He's doing a lot to keep that movie afloat.
Mm-hmm. Cruise control, baby.
I see you recycled your Tommy Lee Jones in Under Siege joke.
That would have been.
See, I don't know why I'm leaving, man. I don't know why I'm leaving. I should be here.
The first person I wrote down was like Tilda Swinton because she just is anyone. But yeah. Then I was like, nah, I kind of suck. That's kind of a shitty answer.
I want to. I mean, William Dafoe is a fucking good one too, because every
Spider-Man.
Saints. Oh man!
Plus, you get to do all the like.
I thought you were gonna say Jim Carrey at first.
Like, I thought it was gonna be Jim Carrey too, but that's like
that's his favorite actor of all time.
Yeah, Brian. Yeah, loves...
I thought I was gonna get into the rubber face thing. I do love me. I mean, he's my one of my.
Do you remember? Do you remember when I used to just tag Jim Carrey? And be like, please say happy birthday to Brian.
Biggest fan.
His biggest fan.
I remember one time we were tweeting early on. I don't even know if we had a podcast yet. And we were like, yes, we were like, yeah, I don't know. We said some insulting thing about Jim Carrey. And someone of the old usual suspects was like, you wouldn't say that to his face, Adam. And we were like, I think me and TJ was like, go fuck yourself, man.
Yeah.
And I like Jim Carrey, but that was just like, what do you mean it's Twitter?
So dumb. You wouldn't say that to his face.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I would. And he wouldn't care. He'd be like, okay, thanks, nobody. I don't give a shit about what you think.
I'll cry in my millions.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to do it, I got to do it the right way. Being the alpha that I am and... You know, because I give off a very masculine energy. You guys have been there with me. You've seen it. You felt it. But also, I'm a big softy, and I can be a little, you know, pretty sometimes. And you
that's
know,
called just, erectile dysfunction to you.
Well, don't talk about the ED right now.
I'm a Blue big Chew. But I'm,
guys, use 10% off on Blue Chew Blue with code Flyboy.
I'm using one right now.
We just got a sponsorship.
So fucking hard.
My wife loves a rock hard Blue Chew. I didn't have any problems, but I do this ad read.
You know what would make that better for my girlfriend? If I looked like Patrick Swayze. If you're going to take any face off of any man when he smoked until his last fucking literal breath, I'm going from the coolest fucking man ever. And hey, guys, you know? Patrick Swayze is a cool fucking guy.
I thought you were going to say Tom Cruise.
Oh, fuck that. So you can have a tooth in the middle of your face? Like, fucking Tom Cruise.
You start laughing like him?
Yo.
I looked at him, you know, and I thought, oh, what a beautiful thing, because maybe one day... it'll be like that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe one day it will be that. Wow, SPs, like, they'll just read about those in the history books, you know? The thing is, I just go through that tech and it's area. It's like, man, you're either in or you're out. That's how I feel. There's nothing part of the way for me. It's just...
I love that. I love
like
that.
Little beaver, what the fuck are you doing, man?
I love that Swayze answer.
Oh, yeah. That's just, if I had to.
I think it'd be ripping throats.
I want the mullet, too. If I can do, like, the whole thing, I want everything about it. Really sweet. Nice.
Yeah, I would say, is there a stage of Swayze you want?
A Dirty Dancing,
Dalton, obviously.
So, like, a little before Ghost.
Yeah. Youngblood, even, where he's kind of, like, really at that, on the edge of hitting. Because in Youngblood, he was probably, like, 47, playing, like, a 22-year-old, and I don't know how old he's supposed to be in Roadhouse, but at any age, that guy's fucking gorgeous.
I think he was in his 30s in the 80s, or, like, late
20s. Yeah, he was still pretty
young. Yeah, he was in 47.
He was only in his 50s when he died. He was not very
old. Yeah, he was young.
Jeez.
Yusuf, who are you?
Kind of the similar answer to Brian, but Brian didn't push it further enough. I want to switch faces with The Rock, but I'm keeping my body. So I'm just going to show up at all the events, at all the talking, cheating Sundays.
Just ruining The Rock's reputation by showing up with his face.
Just it would look like me with my titties out.
Going red carpets with super tight shirts on and shit.
Yeah. You would look like the Donkey Kong heads in GoldenEye mode.
You start sitting down and seeing my shirt just struggle to stay close, and everything's like, what the fuck is wrong with The Rock, man?
You see that meme the other day of somebody, you know, dudes with a super tight shirt? He's like, that guy's about to become an active shooter if he sneezes. That's like flying off that shirt.
Yeah.
There's a picture of The Rock doing the XFL yesterday or whatever. And
still doing that, huh?
and he was talking and he had a jersey on, and, like, you know, it was like, oh, bro, just wear, like, not a team's jersey. You're not an NFL player anymore.
And it's not even, like, one of those normal jerseys. It's the one the players actually wear to where it's supposed to, like, cuff underneath their shoulder pads. So it just, like, made this weird, like...
TJ, you saw it, right? It looked funny.
I watched the XFL, man. It's hilarious. But you're talking about, like, The Rock today.
Yes.
Yeah, today. I would have been in San Antonio and be like, yeah, XFL! It's totally going to work this time.
Not the rundown Rock, where, like, not like...
Yeah, Black Adam flying through the air, but
cool.
It's my body.
Like, Yusuf does look like Be Cool Rock. What are you talking about? It's already there.
Yeah, I wish. I would take that.
He takes his hat off. He's got a little fro under there. Boop.
Man, I fucking saw that movie.
I want to pop out like a little mushroom. Like, boop.
But yeah.
Topic. So,
do we topic out?
I think we topic it out.
I gotta take a pee.
Go pee.
All right. So we picked. Remember, there's one more pick left, and at the little behind the curtain reveal early on, you really can't pick. It's really hard to pick like your favorite movie. I feel like on Flyover, like a movie that I absolutely love, but some do work.
But also, there's the fear that you bring a movie like that in and somebody starts shitting all over it.
Yeah, it's like
I'm about to do.
Yeah. But TJ, your reaction, it always came in, yours, everything you've always chosen came in with a great purpose of the show, because it provided great comedy or like banter to it. I'm talking about picking something like, if I said like Goodfellas, you just stand around and you say, yeah, it's good. And, you know, how good
it is harder to talk, just like it's harder to talk about comedy sometimes.
Yeah,
good comedy, all you're talking about is like, what are you just gonna repeat jokes, you know?
So we swapped movies. We picked Face Off, an all-time action movie classic. John Travolta, Nicolas Cage, Sean Archer is on the hunt for the terrorist that murdered his son, Castor Troy.
And I mean, I'll tell you what, Nick Cage with that mustache—he's murdering fashion. That mustache, dude, starting out, he looks so. No. I love it.
That's like the perfect setting. Like, even if you if you hit play on that movie, you don't know what it is. You've never seen it. As soon as you see that fake mustache and him sipping on a fucking drink, you go like, oh, I know exactly what fucking movie I'm about to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he murders, real quick synopsis, murders it for years now. This is all this covert FBI guy, like,
not Archer's even Archer's single-minded, like, focus, refining. Bring down Caster Troy.
He brings him down.
And he's doing a shitty job.
He brings him down in the opening job. They get him in this cool fucking kind of plane chase, and he's comaed.
I was telling Sarah about this. I love the fact that this movie's first big act, it's like the end of a movie we didn't see. Yeah. It's like the climax of a movie we never watched, you know?
It ends in a fucking air hangar, and there's they take down another helicopter with it.
Yeah, it's a great action sequence.
Yeah, the ending with the...
It's better than ending with the jet. The actual end of the movie.
No, the ending of that sequence with the jet. Mm-hmm. It would have been like one of the best deaths of any other shitty action movie, but it's just like the opening sequence
It's taken out by a wind turbine.
Yeah.
And anyway, so they're in a coma, but there's a bomb in the Staples Center, basically, or the convention center that he hid, and only Pollux Troy, Caster Troy's brother, knows. So John Travolta has to infiltrate a supermax prison to get the information so he could intercept the bomb. So he goes under this covert special technology to swap faces and physical traits with him to get the information. And it goes, but he can't tell anyone. But guess what? Nicolas Cage, Caster Troy, wakes up before the procedures. With the procedure half done.
You're so restrained with the showing the faceless Nick
It's perfect. That's why it's perfect. Because when you see it, it's a little jarring with the blood.
Yeah.
And he has a cigarette in the mouth and he's singing.
And he makes
perfect.
His laugh and reaction is better than any Joker, live action Joker.
They took my face. It reminds
me. Also, the way he changes his speech because he has no lips. I love that. Like, he's actually got to, like, the talk. Like you would talk if you had no fucking lips.
They talk more first.
The range of Nick Cage in this movie is all over the place. Like, it's impressive, honestly.
Travolta, too, though. Because Travolta really gets into doing a Nick Cage. Like, he gets really into it.
But Travolta clearly is having fun imitating Cage. Cage is... acting. He's like,
that's
fair.
I think that's what I was bring up later is I actually think John Travolta is the more fun performance because of that, of basically being able to mimic, as you said, you're mimicking Nick Cage more than Nick Cage is mimicking you. Nick Cage, most of that movie, has to play sheltered John Travolta finding himself.
Yeah, emotionally troubled and struggling. And he doesn't get to really, aside from in the prison, he doesn't really get to let loose.
I'm Caster Troy! I'm Caster Troy!
When he goes from wooing to crying to wooing again, God, so
Oh, yeah.
Let's finish your synopsis, Joe. Let's wrap up the synopsis.
So anyway, synopsis.
But he also lets loose on the party, too, when they give him, when he's like...
When they drug him, yeah.
He's like, I want to take his face off. And it's fucking Nick Cassavetes from The Notebook.
That one, he's doing the weird hugging the kid. Michael!
Yeah. That's when John Woo lost all control.
I imagine John Woo trying to wrangle him in the beginning. He's like, no, this is the movie. This is the movie.
John Woo's English is probably not as good. So, like, you know, there's a little bit of a communication barrier. There's just, like...
Well, I think John Woo have a hand in crafting when Nick Cage did the Bangkok Dangerous fucking...
I think he was like
a producer on it. Anyway, but that is the setup of the movie, right? And they go, it goes through, but it fails because now Nick Cage has John Travolta's face. He's infiltrated his family, and he sets it up.
He killed everybody who knew about it, so there's nobody who even knows.
No one can come in and say you are Caster Troy, you are Sean Archer. Nick Cage, as John Travolta, goes to his house, gets that sweet Joan Allen.
Yeah, but also
I like how like this is the most
probably traumatizes that kid for the rest of her life. Oh,
mildly cast it like that is just a normal couple. John Travolta, the Joan Alley. No one's going ooh. And the way John Travolta plays it though, as if it is Gina Gershon.
Yeah.
And anyway, goes through that. You know, they figured out he gets off of fucking Mario, Super Mario Moon Boot. Prison. Island and
prison. I fucking love that they go like he's dead. Like they haven't seen the body. Nobody shot him. He's like dead.
John Carroll Lynch is like, nah, whatever.
Dude, and it's like the most, I know that we're jumping all over the place, but John Travolta comes in late and they're like, where the fuck you been? He's like, my dead son's birthday. And she's like, she doesn't give a fuck. She's like, well, serendipitous because he's dead. It's like, he's like, she's not like, I'm sorry, I forgot, is it birthday? He's like,
did you the get bitch is the dead. Body? Did
my wife had the moment where she was like, is that, that looks like Margaret Cho, but that can't be Margaret Cho.
It's Margaret Cho, for
that
sure.
That is fully Margaret Cho.
One of my favorite scenes that is so goofy in the movie is when he goes to visit Eve, which is his wife, who's a nurse. And, you know, that John Travolta breaks in to be like, I know you're hiding something. And he just peers behind the door of, oh, Eve, I need help. Like, he, you know, confesses to her, and he's all like, it's the silliest part to me in the movie. She takes her blood, and he's like, it's a match. You're not my husband.
Yeah, they just, like, telegraph it from two XFL footballs away. They're like, oh, we're going to change everything. You're going to be identical, except the blood. That's the only thing we can
attach. Well, and the scar. Remember. Well,
he wants the scar put back, but the scar is gone when he's
gone. Scar's gone, so his wife would have noticed that.
Yeah.
The hands or
the penis.
The penis is the big one, because they do have
six. Is it so?
Apparently they have similar penises.
Yeah, they might have very similar.
Well, supposedly, they haven't had sex in a long ass time. Maybe she just forgot what the dick looks like. Sure.
Yeah, but what if
his daughter he keeps sexually assaulting?
Speaking of sexually assaulting, you see Danny Masterson cast as himself in this movie.
Yes. Oh, I fucking wrote that. You got there first.
I forgot. Yeah, that
he
is
didn't Danny. Even have to act. What a bold ass fucking move. It's one move to try to rape a daughter of an FBI agent. Another thing is try to rape her in the driveway
of the man's house.
What the fuck is your move, my dude? Can we arguably say that Nick Cage is the best headbanging priest in all cinema?
That is iconic.
Right?
Yeah.
Nobody comes close.
The head swing when he does the whole swing, and then clearly it reads.
I don't know what order they filmed it, because usually they don't know order. They tend to either film in scattered order or backwards or front. So I don't know how they directed it, but those beginning scenes felt like he was doing John Travolta the entire time. And then they finally filmed his sequence of him being actually Caster Troy, and he just fucking went ham. Like, he was just like, I'm finally me. I can finally act such a fucking crazy person.
You would think if I was gonna do it, you would think you would have him do Caster Troy first and set the tone for Travolta to then meet. But I have no idea.
Because your selling point to Nick Cage in this, other than it being a flawless script, is that you're gonna be Caster Troy. You're gonna be basically, like you said, the Joker without the makeup, without the fucking gravitas of the character. You would probably film that first. The Travolta thing probably makes the most sense because then Travolta can play off it. But just telling him like when you're about to cast him, like that's a thing, and having him just fucking eat that up and sit on it for however long before they actually got to filming, and then just let me be like, all right, Nick, do your fucking, you're my hand. Everything that you've ever fucking thrown out there have been crazy with, just amp it up and go crazy. Which makes sense. And another thing, for the longest time, and I know it's not him, and I think I even said this before, because I just saw this movie this past year. know, for the first time like last year, and then when I was in the hospital, it was on every single fucking day, just like this stream. So yeah. I watched every part of it nonstop, but I forever thought Sam Rockwell was the fucking brother who was Billy from Jurassic Park 3.
That's like a note. Pollux Troy like plays such a weird, smart character, and then he's like nothing ever again.
No. Then he's in Jurassic Park 3, and then he was in the Sopranos movie. He's Dickie Maltisanti now.
My point being is that's 20. Next to Jurassic Park 3, the other thing is like 20 years later.
Yeah, that's true. He was like this in Jurassic Park 3, and then like gone for a very long time. And then he pops up in The Art of Self-Defense.
Well, another thing I just admire so much about this movie, which is now realized later, is that unlike movies today, we don't get bogged down in any of the science. They just explain it and they just
they bum rush it. Yeah,
they just go, like, yeah, because a movie, you know, today it's like, well, actually, we would be doing, and we have to hear a whole exposition dump of made up science instead of just being like, dude, yeah, there's a microchip in your throat.
She doesn't fucking, nobody hesitates outside of Travolta, obviously, but like, they're like, oh, there's a bomb. Caster is in a coma. We got a plan. Like, it was like
this is their first thing they tried.
Remember that ear
she suggests this before he ever even interrogates anyone else. Yes. And then they show him failing, and then he comes back around to try the crazy
before
idea.
Before he goes this 24.
Is, CCH Pounder is, like, right out of the gate, like, let's cut off your face.
I don't know what the fuck is going to happen.
It's great. Why do I need a scene of him? I don't need 20 minutes of the movie before it happens.
The procedure is the title of the film, which is, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, what other movie just kind of like did dumb science that we all love that just threw it to the side? But this is like, the movie is titled after the procedure, and they just like completely accepted. No one asked twice about it.
It's brilliant. I'm saying
that's the best thing, because you probably couldn't do that today.
The prosthetics look awesome, though, when they were like moving the face.
It was all real good.
Well, you keep mentioning that scene, and you see the Joker, and it just came to me. That performance of talking reminds me so much of certain scenes of the Joker scenes in Batman: Mask of the Phantasm. The little
and also like when the Joker Jack Nicholson.
Batman 89,
That's probably more what I'm thinking, but I never put the two together. But real quick story.
You know what's fucked up about this movie, and maybe this is a me issue because I have a lot of like body dysphoria. They're like, oh, we're gonna switch your faces. We're gonna put the face of like your enemy, the person that actually killed your son. But don't worry, we're gonna get rid of those love handles.
It's
like, why are we throwing shade here, my dude? What the fuck are you doing? And then they put the love handles back in the end because he walks in with
the also that means they put them on to the Caster Troy body so that he can be Sean Archer because he's just John Travolta walking around, which means they pumped him up a little bit in the belly.
They're like, all right, John, we saw Michael. We know.
It's not Saturday Night Live staying alive anymore.
No. Like, this is, like, Nick Cage peak of, like, I'm in action movie shape. Like, it's, like, Con Air or that. It's, like, the peak fitness. John Travolta was more of, like, I've done my action movie shares. Like, I'm a Broken Arrow. I'm a Renaissance. And now, like, I'm leaning more into, like, the following year I'm doing Phenomenon. Like, I'm not taking my shirt off.
Phenomenon, Michael. There's a few other ones. You know what was extra, extra fucked up about this movie is like when he goes to the. Let's go circle back. Actually, why didn't Johnny just Nick Cage just fucking shot Travolta while he was crawling on the floor? Like he just could have double tap and finished the entire movie.
Because I think it's just like I mean, obviously movie logic, but that thing of just like I'm gonna make you suffer. Yeah. And that's what I want. I don't actually want to kill you. It is the Batman Joker. I mean, it would keep bringing back the Batman. It's that kind of, you need me, I need you. I mean, if you want to give a reason of why he just didn't shoot him, it's the same thing as Scott Evil and Austin Powers being like, all right, why don't we travel back in time and just shoot him while he's taking a shit?
What's he called? What's the daughter's name? Is it Janie? What he calls the first interaction with
him? It's Jamie, and he keeps calling her Jamie.
He calls her Janie. It's Tommy like Swain.
My little peach.
The relationship they built before they did the switch between Travolta and her, and obviously she's a teen and the whole thing, but like.
I think Nick Cage was a better dad to her, even though the rapey vibes.
Yeah, but he just doing the best friend thing, which you would, at the very first sign, which again, movie logic, a kid would have been known right away. Or they're getting set up for something crazy.
Yeah, like why is my dad being all nice to me and trying to be cool?
Speaking of that, I mean, that is literally in another Nick Cage movie. It's in The Family Man, where his daughter is like, the little daughter is like, "You're not my dad, right?" And there's this like a little, she's like, "You're an alien," you know. But it's the same thing of like, "Okay, I know you got to go now."
Yeah.
Same.
But it works. And what's the fucking Peaches line?
You turn and twist, because that way.
No, dude, that girl had like trauma for the rest of her life. Like, not only that, the dad hit on her. She then had to shoot the wrong dude. The dad takes her and licks her face, and then she has to stab. It's like so much trauma. Like she would wake up. She wakes up in bed in the morning.
Well, she's already screwed up.
Daddy got a new bag.
Well, she's already screwed up because she lost her little brother, and then instead of being able to properly grieve for that, she had to watch her dad like freak out, spiral out, and like blow up their whole family, being this like psychotic revenge machine.
And then
watch her parents like whole thing fall. So she's already like this rebellious teen who's having all these problems, and then she gets there's all this weird violence going on around her. And she's fine. She does a face waterfall.
The most unhinged moment is actually the ending of bringing home Castor Troy's son, and being like, "This is Michael now."
No, the most unhinged moment is doing a full boat chase after the natural climax of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
The climax of the movie happens.
In the church.
And then there is a 20-minute boat chase reason. Even, like, I was even like, holy shit, this boat chase is even longer than I thought it was.
There was
two different times I thought the boat chase was about to end, and it didn't.
There was a moment I'm sitting there, I probably fell asleep from the fucking morphine. I woke up, and I'm like, am I watching Rumble in the Bronx all of a sudden? Because I'm like, what is happening?
Oh, fuck, right. Man. Right. I don't actually... It's decided. All right, go ahead.
To give you guys context and feedback, because I believe my parents raised me right and loved me, I saw this movie when it was new to whatever the rental was. So, like, 96, and
I saw it in the theater.
I am 5.
I saw it at home with mom and dad.
I'm 5 or 6. I have a vivid memory of being down the shore, because that's where it was, afterwards, playing Face Off, like imaginary playing Face Off, jumping, running because of the
action. Cutting your face with a piece of glass you found on the drifting shore.
And at the same
time.
That
is such a savage moment.
And at the same time.
You're going to kill me and you want this face back? Fuck you.
They made the right decision. There's an alternate ending deleted scene where they pulled she chose the wrong one.
Oh.
And he's like looking at himself in the mirror. I believe it's like he's looking at himself in the mirror, like gives like a crazy eye or something like that. And it's like to Joan Allen or some shit. And it's like, oh no.
I love that shit. That's like when you get the two dads. Obviously, they had it with the Janie part with like, "I'm your dad. No, I'm your dad. Shoot the fucking."
I'm ready for the big shot, baby.
Oh, speaking of that song, forever I knew that's always been in my head. I think about it all the time. I'm ready for the big ride. And I forever thought it was when they execute Elias Koteas in the movie Fallen, but he sings a different song.
Oh, Fallen.
That's Elvis, right?
Yeah, I think so. And then I remember I was watching this, and I was like, that's the one, that's what it's from. But I want to go back to your idea about the ending. Wouldn't a much more interesting ending have been, because Castor Troy killed all the scientists who could do this procedure, that like
he stays.
Sean Archer has to live with Castor Troy's face and raise his family and like raise his son, but also live with his wife. That would have been a way more interesting ending.
I agree. I know it's his way of dealing with the trauma, but I found it very weird, and I think it's like one of the only moments in the movie that I question, because the rest is just like pure, it's like a fucking drug trip that you You just have to embrace.
You just strap in for it.
If you've ever
done drugs, you don't ask a roller coaster why it goes.
I don't trust people that don't do drugs because they don't know the feeling of I'm gonna get over this. You know, like you're just like, okay, this ride is gonna end eventually. We're gonna be good.
So I just gotta get through to the other side.
We're fine. So that's how I survive life. I'm like, okay, this is gonna end. But there's a moment in the movie that I question, like it's just fucking weird, and where it's Nick Cage as Travolta, and he's given Caster Troy a redemption arc with his baby mama. Yeah. Like he's being apologetic, he's being nice. Yeah, like
he lets her die with a good feeling towards Caster Troy.
And it's such a fucking weird moment, such a weird decision as him, because I get that he's trying to be like a dad to the son that he lost, but at the same time, he's giving a redemption arc to the man that killed his son.
I just always saw it as he can't, like, this is just who he is at the heart. It's just to like help these people, and it's not to be, you know, he's not thinking that way.
I also locked into the thing where, as when he's regular John Travolta, regular Sean Archer, at John Travolta is Sean Archer, regular beginning of the movie, he brings her in for questioning, and he's super hard on her and threatens to take away her kid and this, that, and the other. And I think part of what we're seeing there is because he got to spend some time as Caster Troy and see her as a mom and see how Caster Troy is like a damaging force in her life. And like, Archer is a thing that Caster Troy had made happen to her. Like, that's just another thing that she has to deal with. Dealing with Sean Archer is another thing she has to deal with as a consequence of being in a relationship with Caster Troy. And she's, like, constantly suffering for it and trying to be a better mom and trying to improve her life. And I think he feels a little guilty. So I think that is partly, in those last moments where she's dying.
I agree with Brian. You're right. You articulate better. I was saying that's, yeah. And Yusuf, like, but, you know, never looked at it that way because, you know.
I have a question.
Yeah.
He kills him the spear gun. And they switch Archer's face back over, right? Mm-hmm. Do they put Nick Cage's face back on his body before they bury him?
Nah, they still have shit in the dumpster.
Please. Because sequel.
There's a turtle down in the ocean with his fucking face right now.
I was saying you could do the sequel, which everyone wants to do now, straight to HBO Max, where you could have.
That's supposedly being written.
I think it's in production, unfortunately.
Somebody's working on it.
Sun grows up. He finds that they've been keeping
only if Young Woo is back.
Finds his face.
Leslie burning this bitch around.
Like, I imagine the face is like the Joker, face like from the Vanilla Joker Sky.
That's like has like clips on his face and
staples it over his regular face.
Like Child's Play.
The Vanilla, the Tom Cruise Vanilla Sky mask.
I really thought it would have been funny because, like we talked about, supposedly all the scientists who did the procedure died. So it would have been funny at the very end where Travolta, because you kind of see him walking outside the porch. They do the face reveal, but then he comes in and he's got like the big lips and like big. He looks like the lady who had her face pulled off by the chimp, and they had to like put someone else's face on. He's all like puffed up.
He looks like Vincent D'Onofrio in fucking Men in Black, but he's just like, here.
It's all like tight.
Sit on back, sugar.
It's all saggy.
We were watching Mystic Pizza the other day, and we were seeing like young Vincent D'Onofrio, and my wife looks at him clearly like swooning, and she goes like, what happened to him?
Dude, it's actually fucked up.
He's Thor in the Adventures in Babysitting. He's like fucked all up.
He was the like then like not fucked up, but he was like fit, like a thinner build, and he's like, yeah, I gained 80. He began like some like 60 pounds to do the Full Metal Jacket. So he wanted to be like acting seriously, and he's like, yeah, then I just like took it off, and I like being a big guy. It's like, okay, like,
he did a Robert De Niro, but only in one direction. He was like, nope, I'm just staying like this.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him, but like, I was like, wow.
He's probably healthier as a big man who only did that change one time than like Christian Bale is. It's a dude who's flipped back and forth like so many times.
Christian Bale's
metabolism has to be like fucked, and his kidneys and his everything.
Matt Damon messed up his body real bad doing that. Like,
just from the pianist has to be like,
no one cares about him.
Pianist going to going to Batman Begins where they told you you were too buff to start Batman.
Dude, he was talking about the machinist.
He was eating an apple. It was an apple, and like a coffee, cigarette. And cigarettes. That's it. That's nutrition.
And then he got.
He looks like a skeleton. He's very gross in that movie.
And then he got.
Yeah, and it's a shitty movie too.
Yeah, it's not even a good movie.
It's not even
I have it because I got it at a Goodwill, but like.
It's not even worth
it. I just like watching
the But like, watch. Circling back to Vincent, like, I think I have a vague memory of reading that he had gained like 30 pounds and Stanley Guru was like, "You're not taking this seriously, are you?" So.
Dang.
So that's just adding to the legend of Stanley Kubrick being just a massive
person. What a prick.
No, the funniest story of a director ever doing that to me will always be Ryan Gosling for The Lovely Bones.
Oh, that's my favorite. I said
Peter, cast it, right? He showed up too fat.
I said that story in this fucking
podcast. Yeah, anyone listening,
found that story.
Peter Jackson made The Lovely Bones. Which is like this, like really, like beautiful, like YA book and things like that. Like I read it in high school, like, and they were gonna make a big movie.
It's a rape and killing them.
Yeah, they were gonna make this movie, and he was like, "Oh, well, I want to just look like a normal dad." So like Ryan Gosling puts on like 30 pounds or so. He probably still looked great, but like,
yeah, he just probably was dad body.
And shows up at close to ready to film, and Peter Jackson's like, "No, I casted you because you were a hot, fit guy. Like, you're fired."
I wanted Ryan Gosling. What the fuck?
No, then he gets, and they fired then he gets like
and Mark they casted Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg.
I was saying, wasn't it Marky Mark? Yeah.
Just with like a longer, like part, like 70s dad hair.
Stanley Tucci the killer.
Yeah, he's great in that. Like, the movie's not very good.
Yeah, the movie's only okay.
I think Stanley Tucci got nominated for like supporting actor because he is really fucking creepy.
The movie sucks, but the movie low-key has the most scariest killer location. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the same.
Like it's an underground bunker.
Like, he like created a little apartment in the dirt in a field somewhere. Oh my
God. It should be a much better movie because like the point why I said the book's beautiful is like it goes into the dream world that she's in and like it really paints a picture of like what you're seeing in the movie. Come? Didn't
Nobody
do
gives
that.
A shit about that.
Anyway, Face Off. I mean,
are you going to the rating?
No, what I used to do. It's not time for we're rating already. I wanted to ask you guys when I used to. We talked about the science. When I used to classify my movies by genre. I took this one out of action and put it in sci-fi, and then took it out of sci-fi and put it in
action.
It's an action movie,
I know. And also, why did John Woo get like hung up on like weird sci-fi shit in his action movies after this?
Like the Sixth Day,
Paycheck, and the Sixth Day. There's like some bad ones.
What? Sixth Day is so bad.
Well, Paycheck's really bad too. Paycheck's
Sixth Day. Sixth Day is one of the most depressingly bad movies I've ever seen in my life. Because that's when my child brain was like clicking into existence, and I was like, "Oh, I understand movies now. Oh, I fucking love Arnold. Let's go see our Arnold." Oh, this sucks.
See, I think I had already seen Eraser before that, so I knew we were on the slide.
Collateral. Collateral damage.
Thriller then. A thriller has to have a horror aspect in it, or could this be
a thriller
could be tense too, more like tense. Tension. You know,
like.
Yeah, thriller just like
a John
builds,
Wick
builds
is
up
more
to
of
a
thriller.
Climax.
Yeah,
the first one.
Maybe some like you might have some suspenseful elements in there.
Yeah.
Like
thriller usually is like a crescendo.
Maybe there's like some stealth or some like close calls that like that make it feel more thrillery.
Yeah, thriller. I would say the guest.
Gone Girl.
You mentioned it. Gone Girl.
Yes.
Like it's not quite a horror movie. Like that's one where like. If someone wants to come on Fear,
if I think about a thriller, I think about something.
I'm not
like
gonna.
Primal
I might,
Fear.
Yeah, I might say no. I might say no to some movies if it's just a thriller. If a guest picks it on Fear, because it's like,
what Dreams May Come.
I don't know if you guys
what
also
lies
know.
Beneath.
That's the one that I wanted to say. What Lies Beneath?
Do you guys know a lot of John Woo films? I know Mission Impossible 2, and I know this, and that's not
John Woo.
We just did Hard Boiled a couple weeks, a couple months back. Right?
Well, yeah, I mean, is the dub thing? When are the
fucking Hard Boiled, man? God damn.
That was like in through all of his it's Chinese weird. Cinema, right?
I like Broken Arrow, I like Hard Target.
Yeah.
Hard Target.
Well, Broken Arrow is his like first
Dude,
like American one, right?
Nah, he did Hard Target first, I think. And then Broken Arrow.
Okay. My last episode
and then Face Off.
you guys keep mentioning movies. I'm gonna pick 9 movies for my last episode. So stop mentioning good movies.
Yeah, let's see. Hard Target, Broken Arrow, Face Off. Yeah, and then he does Mission Impossible 2. He does Wind Talkers, which is an undersea.
Wind Talkers is underrated. Movie. It's not. Yeah, it's actually not bad. Good.
It's honestly just more straightforward war movie and not a John Woo movie.
But it's an interesting. The story is very interesting. Like
Paycheck. John Woo
just might not have been the person to tackle the material. Maybe
Paycheck's one.
Or Nick Cage either.
Yeah.
Paycheck is one of the worst. It's so bad.
Yusef's last episode is like Yusef's last episode, part one, part two, part
three. Yeah,
it's the fucking rest of the year. Movies, so no topics, all movies.
We really Tarantino.
Hey guys, really, this is my last episode.
Keep putting parts on the end of it to be like, well,
10-part mini series, which could be like a movie.
Like, didn't you say you were gonna fucking quit? Yes, honey. It's a big
we're still. It's like months down the road, and it's like we're just doing a regular show, but now it's called like the final episode. It's always the same. Like,
no one's gone to work. We're just wearing the same thing. We just keep going. Dying.
Do you remember when we did the bracket, the close bracket? I had this genius idea to put on a lot of shit. And then each time we started recording, I would start stripping off stuff. So each episode, I was looking different. But we were so punch drunk by then. I think it was like 3-hour recording.
It was punch drunk. That was, it was like, I remember just being like, shoes. But all right. Are we ready?
Can we talk enough?
I think we could go on Con Air for, I mean, Face Off for like, I could go on.
Can we talk about how Tom Hanks is the guy in the prison?
Yeah. Ratings face.
The Mexican standoff that it just kept evolving into more Mexican standoffs.
Where people just came in like,
No, actually, you dropped your guns. No, you dropped your guns, bitch. No, you.
I'm dying over the thought of fucking Sarah walking in and being like, that's not Margaret Cho. No way.
I know that can't be Margaret Cho, but that lady looks like Margaret Cho.
She's like very bold in front of the entire fucking office. It's like, did you get your stick surgically removed off your ass? It's like,
what?
That's the director of the department.
Party for me after like 10 dudes got killed. Why are you trying to throw a party for me?
And he's like, actually, before we go into the race, the funniest scene is Caster Troy dies. The brother goes to prison, and he goes to his computer and sits. He sits on the desk, and he's like, "Case closed." Like it doesn't. Like, bitch, you have to go to court. There's due process. You gotta.
He checks a box. He's like, "And we're done."
And we're done because they're covert secret. They can't have files on documents, guys. Computers.
Let's go into the rating phase.
Ratings phase.
This is a perfect 10. 10 out of
10. It's a 10, guys.
Faces off. This is an orgasm of movie. There's nothing wrong with this movie. And if you say otherwise, I'm leaving the podcast.
It's 10 boat chases for me.
10 boat guys, chases.
Okay. It's a great movie.
If you say it's not a 10 out of 10, I'm leaving the podcast.
Action trilogy.
Yeah, Con Air also a 10.
Con Air's a 10. This is like an 8.5.
I'm leaving the podcast.
I respect it.
If you cut the boat chase,
the next episode is my last.
Cut the boat chase, it's a 9.5.
Yeah.
Since Brian already ruined it.
This is your fault.
I'll give it like a 9.5.
You know what? Fuck next episode. This is my last episode.
I'm out.
9.5 what, TJ's?
Ah, man, this is tough. Hancock definitely stole like the jail scene from this.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Guy's head and rims in the other guy's asshole. But like,
I didn't do 8.5. Sorry, 8.5 doves. John Woo doves.
Okay, I was going to say, which doesn't make a lot of sense in this type of thing because everything's magnetic because he has a metal lunch tray that he smashes in the guy's face. Which
it's aluminum. It's aluminum. You're so
dumb. It's still metal, isn't it?
No, the magnet wouldn't.
Not all metals are magnetized, TJ.
You're so... Dude!
Get a science podcast, loser.
God damn it, man. That's a
Jamie, pull thing. It up, Jamie. Pull it up, Jamie. How much?
Pull it up, Jamie.
How does the metals interact, Jamie? Can you build up?
Magnets. So he's all ICP magnets. How do they work over here?
I remember I was having a sleepover with friends, and I was mistaken that this movie, I thought this movie had boobs, but it actually was just the little graphic that he hits when he defuses the bomb. You know, it's just a little thing. And I remember my friend's brother going, there's boobs in this. And I was like, yeah, there are right there. And it was just the fucking.
I really miss, honestly, with all my heart, what the 90s thought computer programming was. Like,
that was a golden era for just like taking a wild swing.
Oh, yeah.
I even think of as recently as like the Chappelle Show, where he does the sketch about the mall, where like the internet's like a weird sketchy mall and stuff. It's like, even that feels quaint now.
It's all anything about tech like that is fucking so dated. So I'm closing the book on Face Off and my picks. Yusuf, what are you putting punctuation on the end of this chapter with?
Joe, I want to edit this out. Can you pull up that thing you do with the wheel?
Yeah.
Be right back.
You want to hit me?
You're recording to come back in now?
Or do you want me to click spin?
Just say, like, Yusuf, like, pull me into it.
All right, Yusuf, I'm going to spin this wheel. Yusuf has given us Bloodsport, Back to the Future, Inglourious Basterds, and Rumble in the Bronx. Four movies that we think would have made great, and they're all from Yusuf. So I'm hitting spin. Rumble in the Bronx.
There you go.
Yeah. Goddamn classic.
I'm gonna fucking close out on a Jackie Chan movie. If y'all remember, fitting. I picked Drunken Master. I could have picked Police Academy. I could pick Who Am I?
Oh, Cops. You mean Police Story?
Police Story.
It would have been hilarious if Jackie Chan was in Police Academy.
I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Him and Steve Guttenberg and the guy who does the voices.
Yeah,
that would have been amazing. But I mean, like, he would just stand
right in because he has a niche. He kicks people's asses.
No. Like, the guy that does the voices would just stand next to Jackie and would be like.
And as Jackie fights, he's like.
Well. Rumble in the Bronx it is. And Rumble in the Bronx. Fair warning to if anyone is still listening, the last episode of Final, it'll, I imagine, be a supersized episode, and, you know, we're not going to try to keep any sort of time limit on that one.
Oh, yeah.
All right, where can everyone find you guys for one of the final times?
You guys are on Flyover State of Film YouTube. You guys can find me at Twitter, at TJ Dex. Stay tuned.
Yeah, you find me always at Flyover State of Fear and here. And like we keep saying, Brian and TJ and I are going to cook up some stuff. And Yusuf is still here behind the scenes.
Yeah, and if Yusuf ever gets out from under this scandal, he can come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to hide for a while. So, I'm like Michael Jordan when he went to the MLB.
Oh,
shit. Yeah. But you still could come back and play for the Bulls and then go to the Wizards. You're not in your Wizards phase yet.
You're not in your Wizards phase. Come on. Don't do that to yourself. Don't say it. Say it ain't so.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.